I'm Nick Harcourt. It's 88.5 FM, and happy to welcome into the studio this morning Moby. He's got some friends with him. We're going to talk to him about who he's got in studio with him in just a little while and have a conversation about the new album, Everything Was Beautiful and Nothing Hurt. But first, the music.
Let it go. Wake
It's 88.5. I'm Nick Harcourt, your host, and, well, mornings are truly electric today. We've got Moby in studio with us, with a couple of friends. You just played a few songs, The Sorrow Tree and Almost Home. Very beautiful and a very stripped-down performance for you today. Who's in studio with you?
My friend Mindy Jones singing, and my friend Julie Mintz also singing, and Adrian playing cello, and Jonathan Nesvadba. He and I have been friends for a long time, and
I
still
just thinking that.
Can't pronounce his name. Nesvadba. I think it's, he told me it's Czech for monastic. Like, I think if you are
he's a monk.
Like a renunciate monk, yeah, in the Czech Republic, Nesvadba describes monasticism.
Well, welcome all. I've met a few of you over the years, and thanks for coming in this morning. You're playing a mix of songs for us, obviously, but why don't we talk about the new album, Everything Was Beautiful and Nothing Hurt. You've been so busy in the last few years writing and recording. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is like the second album within a year or 18 months, yeah?
I think so. I mean...
Are you constantly recording?
Yeah, especially now that I don't tour. Like, I had this utterly self-evident realization a few years ago when I finally admitted to myself I hate touring. Because I spent decades touring, either the novelty of touring compelled me to keep doing it, or it was exciting for a while, and then it felt obligatory.
When did that change?
I guess it was around 2002. I hated touring, but I couldn't really admit to myself that I hated touring, because I was like, I have to tour, I have to promote records and make money, and I'm a professional musician, so of course I have to tour. And then finally, as time passed, maybe around the time I got sober, I finally accepted I really don't want to keep living in hotels and living in airports. So now, as a middle-aged sober guy who doesn't tour, who doesn't have much of a social life, and isn't very good at relationships, I have a lot of free time. So that's So I spend a lot of time at home working on music and then releasing albums. And if people pay attention, that's great. If they don't, that's okay, because at least I get to spend time working on music.
I think you even did an album called Hotel, didn't you, about staying in hotel rooms or something, or hotels?
Yeah, it was an album called Hotel. It was 10, 12, 13 years ago. And
it sounds like that was around about the time that it was all getting a little
It was definitely when I was bottoming out, and I did a lot of my bottoming out as an alcoholic in hotel rooms. And the album, what's funny, it's my least favorite album of all the ones I've made, because it's very professional. Like, that was the record when I thought, okay, I'm going to go into a big studio and work with a big engineer and make a big sounding professional record. And when it was done, I finally realized, like, oh, I don't like big sounding professional records. I like weird little records that people make in their bedrooms, which is how I've made most of my music.
So last year, what was the name of the record that came out last year?
I think there were two. There's one called These Systems Are Failing.
Right.
And then there's another called, I don't remember. Well, it was only a year ago.
The good news for me is if you don't remember, I'm okay.
It had a really pretty cover, because it was like pink and green on the cover, and it was more of a punk rock record.
Right.
And I clearly need to go get some sort of cognitive assessment or evaluation when I can't remember the name of a record that I put out a year ago. Like, what's wrong with me?
I thought you said you'd stopped all that stuff.
I stopped drinking, but I'm still clearly developmentally impaired.
So obviously, you have a home studio, I know, and I follow you on Instagram, so I see some of the stuff that you're up to. I would recommend anybody to find you on Instagram, not just for the little bits of music, but also you're very active out there in the world, and
I'm a loudmouth. Visual loudmouth.
You wear your heart on your sleeve, and you say what you think, which I really appreciate about you. So it's well worth following Moby on Instagram if you don't already. But you have a little home studio, and I see you drumming and practicing and playing guitar all the time. You say you have a lot of time on your hands because you don't play up anymore. Does making music and recording music today keep you sane? Is that what keeps you sane? Because, you know, as somebody who has his own recovery, I understand that, you know, most people who have drug or alcohol issues are kind of nuts, and they need to do stuff not to be nuts.
Yeah, there are a lot of things living in Southern California that help me to stay sane. Traffic not being one of them. Celebrity parties also not being one of them. But, like, hiking, just being in a community of people where you can talk about meditation and yoga and spirituality and not feel like a freak. But working on music, it's interesting. About 10 years ago, as music overall became a lot less profitable, like many musicians, I was terrified by that. Like, at the idea of realizing like I could no longer make money from music, but now it's liberating. You know, when I make a record, there's no way to make money from it. So it almost has this sort of like externally imposed and enforced purity. You know, like, I work on music purely for the love of music, because there's no way to make money from it. And there's a beauty to that. So now, like, to your question, like, going into my tiny little bedroom studio and working on music, I don't even see it as my job. It's almost like a spiritual hobby. You know, so you go in there for the love of it, but as a way of like creating comfort for yourself and somehow being able to like process the internal and external craziness.
The last album, by the way, was called More Fast Songs About the Apocalypse.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I knew it had a weird title.
with the Void Pacific Choir.
Which is really just me playing guitar and yelling at the top of my lungs.
With a few friends thrown in.
Yeah.
Tell us about the songs on this album then. You know, working through the stuff that you've worked through in the last few years, and obviously making a lot of music. It seems to me, if you don't mind me saying, that this album seems a little more like some of your earlier work than the last couple.
Yeah, it does. I mean, the title, Everything Was Beautiful and Nothing Hurt, it comes from a Kurt Vonnegut book. And I love that quote, everything was beautiful and nothing hurt, because there's just like a simple, naive, utopian quality to it. You know, and the album art, a friend of mine who lives around the corner from me in Echo Park, he painted the portrait of two cows on the subway reading a book. And it was also very naive and sweet and utopian. And thematically, what the record's about, and I don't, I'll keep it brief and try not to sound too, like too much of a grad student, but it's about sort of this strange place where we are as a species, you know, the human condition, and how every problem that's facing us as a species is a problem that we've created, you know, and it's so asinine that we're destroying ourselves, we're destroying the planet, we're destroying other species, but we don't have anyone else to blame but ourselves.
It's not like aliens came down and bombed us.
Yeah, it's not like we're being attacked by bears, right, and we're being attacked by aliens and asteroids. Like, we create these problems. But so the record, there's a darkness to it, but there's also, hopefully, at least this was my intention, a sweetness to it. Because I'm looking at our species and I'm like, even though we are so destructive, we're just scared. Like, we're trying to like create meaning for ourselves and trying to find significance. And when we do terrible things, sometimes that's the best we know how to do. And it's just heartbreaking that we are destroying the only home we have, and in the process, making ourselves miserable out of this like cluelessness and willful ignorance.
Well put. Thank you. I appreciate
that's
it.
That's my diatribe.
No, it's great. You're going to play another couple of songs for us before we wrap things up. But let me just get back to the fact that you were talking about that you don't really like touring anymore. And I know you were doing DJ gigs for a while and you're not doing those anymore. I'm guessing that you were fortunate enough when people were still buying records that you're okay and you don't need to go out and do massive tours like a lot of artists have to these days.
Yeah. I mean, I managed to, even at the height of my drinking and drug taking, I still was financially pretty responsible. Mm. But I live in a simple house in Los Feliz and I have a simple little life that doesn't require a ton of money. So I don't have to make decisions based on money. Like if I wanted to live... If I wanted to have a house in the south of France and have private planes and 20 assistants catering to my every whim, then I would need to tour.
You'd
a
have
lot.
To go back on
but
the
I'd
road.
But I'd rather right. just like go hiking in Griffith Park,
yeah.
eat in my restaurant, hang out with friends.
You never wanted to be a Rolling Stone.
No, I mean, or and also, you? I mean, musically, yeah, I'd love to be able to say that I wrote Wild Horses.
Sure, but chateaus in the south of France and, you know.
I tried it. For a while, not specifically that, but like I tried
the
that life of excess yeah. and I did it so badly that I've never been less happy. You know, like the most bottomed out I ever was at a hotel in Barcelona called the Arts. And I was on I was at the top of the Arts Hotel with Madonna, P. Diddy, and Bon Jovi. Those were my neighbors in the other suites. And I've never been more miserable, never been more drunk, and never been more excessive. So like, I don't know, like that old expression, like the road of excess, the path of excess leads to the path of wisdom. I think it's seeing the shortcomings of excess that leads to wisdom. When you realize like, oh, I'm pretty happy, like sitting out in the sun, eating an orange, way more happy than hanging out with Richard Branson at a chateau in the south of France.
Me too, by the way. I don't do that stuff anymore.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen, thank you for coming in. I know that you're only doing two radio things on this album, and we're one of them.
Yeah.
The World Cafe, we'll hear that on this station at some point in the future. And this one for me, you know, you and I have a little history going back away, and you've always been very kind by coming and doing things for me and for us. And I appreciate you bringing the guys in and doing this very beautiful setup for us today. So good luck with whatever happens this year. You've put the album out. I know that you're giving whatever money comes in from it to various animal charities, which is a big thing for you. Thank you so much for being here and bringing the guys. Moby on our program. It's the Nick Harcourt Show at 88.5 FM. And we're going to wrap up with these last two tunes. As I said, thank you and good luck with everything this year.
Oh, thanks for having us on.
kaleidoscopic mind. I never meant to hurt you. I never meant to lie. So this is goodbye. This is goodbye. Like madness in season, bracing all like a breaking of reason, with every night lost and every day torn, with the drama feeling calmer, it's a calmer in the storm. Speakers are crying like a forest in the rain. I was so alone with my thoughts and my pain, and the darkness closed like a mouth on a wire night. I'll never be free.
Ooh, in this dark.
Stand on my own anymore. I can't stand in the stain of the broken and whore. I can't break what I held, and it never was true. In the mirror, what I said was a lie to you and me and everything I see and everything I could. Tried so hard to be good for myself, for you, for the hidden and divine, for everything. But I can fail just so many times.
Ooh, in this darkness, please light my way. Light my way. Ooh, in this darkness, please light my way. Light my way.